Thank you. All right. We're on to item number 16. It's a 10:30 a.m. public hearing. This public hearing is now open. Kathy, you want to read through that for me? Do you have that in front of you? Don't worry about it. It's all good. Public hearing on proposed resolution number 2024-752, a resolution adopting the 2024 Story County Master Plan. The resolution includes comprehensive text amendments to the existing Story County Master Plan, including the following elements: land use, population, housing, economic development, transportation, public services and facilities, water and natural resources, cultural and historical resources, and other provisions thereof. The resolution also includes comprehensive map amendments to the existing Story County Master Plan area and land use designation maps. Public participation is encouraged. A copy of the proposed resolution and draft master plan chapters and master plan maps are available to the Story County Planning Department. All right, so with that said, is there any public comment? This hearing is open. Come on up, sir. Morning, Tom. I never get that one. All right. Please don't forget to state your name for the record.
Okay. I'm Tom Zachary. I live up by Sutro Springs. I purchased that property when I was 27 years old. I don't want to see any big growth around. I want to protect the view for everyone. I just want to say that I'm opposed to any kind of dense building around there, whether it's residential or commercial or industrial. I've talked to several of the people in Mark Twain area, and they too want to protect their rural lifestyle, and the view, the area. I also just want to bring up that the state is working on Highway 50. That's already a death trap out there. It's wrecks all the time, serious wrecks. They are going to be installing a stoplight at Six Mile Canyon and one of the other ones farther up. I'm sure there will be one at North Pine Nut soon. The speed limit is going to be reduced through there to 35 or 45 miles an hour, all the way into when you get to go 55 miles an hour down into Carson City. I have a real concern about the water there, and when things come up, I'll be more prepared. But there is no way that there is enough recharge. I'm sure you could go down into those flats and drill a very good bunch of water wells today. They wouldn't produce very long. I sat in this room in 1975 and told them that there wasn't enough water at the Virginia City Highlands, and no one chose to listen to me, so you better watch out.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. And I know, I understand pressures that have been put on the county. I understand, you know, one more comment. I really think that when this was done initially, a lot of the area in Trick should have been set aside. I'm against any of the transition stuff, but maybe some of that needs to transition to some residential area. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate your comment.
Okay. Appreciate you guys.
Is there any other public comment today? Say that. Would you say anything? Okay. Yeah, that's fine. All right, one more time. No more public comment. All right, not seeing any. County manager, you said you had something.
Thank you. Commissioners, Austin Osborne, for the record, county manager. I respect Mr. Zachary's public comment that he provided, and I just want to make sure this board and the public knows that there's been discussions that have occurred with Mr. Zachary, with our planning folks, as well as at the Planning Commission. And again, very respected and understood. I've been here his whole life, as well as myself, and from the Dayton area. I understand that growth is happening and change is happening, and it's not easy for any of us, as we're all aware. Before Kathy gets into her master plan updates and the thing that she's talking about in that area, the Mark Twain area, I just want to emphasize that we did hold public workshops in that area and to really address exactly what Mr. Zachary brought up as far as maintaining that rural lifestyle of the existing residents that live in the Mark Twain Estates area and assuring that any future growth that happens to the east would be to the east and that there'd be substantial buffering and transition and densities and other types of planning implements in place to be able to create compatibility between what exists in that lifestyle and then what might occur in the future. This is an important housing element for Story County with the region, with the growth that's happening not only here but elsewhere. And it's incumbent upon us, and the reason we're bringing this to the county commissioners and the planning commission is for us to be able to do our master planning, our zoning, and develop our county the way we would like to and not have it done by the legislature or by the courts or other outside entities. I do want to remind us that just because a master plan has a transition for residential growth or any type of growth, that doesn't mean it's happening tomorrow. It doesn't mean that it's ready to go. There's water, there's infrastructure, there's other improvements that'll be need to made. There's substantial amount of planning commission and public hearings and workshops that will need to occur when or if an application or even to come forward for a land subdivision, a plan unit development, or whatever type of thing could happen in the future, whether it's there or anywhere else in the county we're allowed by the master plan. So I'm going to pass it over to Kathy. She's put a tremendous amount of work in this and working with a team as well as with the planning commission and the public. I'm very, very happy with Kathy's work on this. It's exemplary. So I'm happy to answer any questions. Otherwise, it's all I have.
All right. Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything for Austin at this time?
I do not. Thank you, Austin.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Kathy, you don't have anything before I close this out, do you?
Not for the public hearing portion.
All right. Again, one more time, is there any public comment? All right. Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
I am. Hi, Commissioner Mitchell. Move to close the public hearing on the proposed resolution number 2024-752 and conformance with federal, state, and county regulations and the existing 2016 Story County Master Plan. The recommendation for approval by staff and the adoption of the plan by the Planning Commission. So did I go ahead and, sorry.
No, I think just what you said.
Just to close it?
Yeah. Just close it.
Okay, thank you. Let me restate, sorry, because that was a little convoluted. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to close the public hearing on proposed resolution number 2024-752.
Second that motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. All right, on to item number 17, which is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of resolution number 2024-752, resolution adopting, the 2024 Story County Master Plan. The resolution includes comprehensive text amendments to the existing Story County Master Plan, including the following elements: land use, population, housing, economic development, transportation, public services and facilities, water and natural resources, cultural and historical resources, and other provisions thereof. The resolution also includes comprehensive map amendments to the existing Story County Master Plan area and land use designation maps. Kathy.
All right, thank you. So this step is hopefully the final iteration of the master plan update that we've been working on. Just to kind of remind everybody, we started this in the summer of 2023, met with all the different communities to see kind of where they were at with our existing plan versus kind of what issues they saw in their communities. After having all those discussions with them, staff decided that an update to the master plan rather than rewriting the whole thing was the appropriate way to go. So this past summer, we again met with all the different residential communities, summer of 2024, kind of went through some of the issues and things that they had. There were some things that were new that were brought up that have been included in the master plan. And for each community, they had a little different concerns than the others. Like Lockwood, one of their concerns was trying to find some secondary access problem issues with in emergency situations when I-80's backed up or if there's bad weather or things like that. So we've written in some recommendations of what to pursue with that. Talking to Lockwood, the area to the east of them, we couldn't really get a consensus from the neighborhood of really what they were wanting to do. So we've just left that as it was previously. And if something comes up in the future, we'll address it then with the master plan. The Highlands area, water has always been a concern. With them, we're continuing on as the master plan is identifying that to include looking for ways to address the water situation that's there. We're continuing on with the USGS monitoring of that so we have good data for whenever we do come up with some solutions. Some of the residents had identified wanting to explore ideas of trying to preserve some open space of these private properties. So that was also added into the master plan that wasn't there before. It's not solving these issues, but it's identifying for these areas. The Virginia City area, we talked about short-term rentals, Airbnbs, accessory dwelling units, housing size. So again, we think that those are areas that for additional studies, because there could be some improvements or things that kind of help the community. So we've identified that to explore. The Mark Twain area, what we were hearing from those residents is that they really value their neighborhood as it is. As you know, we had to look at the county itself has been critiqued in not being very balanced in our housing versus our commercial industrial area. So that is one thing that we were really looking at is where could potentially some of this go. Ideally, and I want to put it in quotes, easiest area would be where Lyon County is building things right up to our county line with housing and streets are stubbing out in that. It doesn't mean that it's an easy area to develop by any stretch, and there's still lots of things to be worked out. But when we have to look at a county as a whole, trying to figure out where potentially housing could go, obviously we've got our Painted Rock area that we're still very much in support of that becoming a residential or mixed-use area. But then looking at where could we add in some areas. So we talked about that area. We also talked about the American Flat area. At this point, because of all the mining activity that's still potentially there, we were holding off on the American Flat. Probably the next iteration of master plan update, we'll probably look at that a little bit more in depth in about a 5-year time period. But for now, Mark Twain was that area that we identified. We talked about that with the community. We heard them loud and clear, and we agree with them that they value their quality of life very strongly. So what we've written into this is there's the potential to transition some of this land that is east of the Mark Twain subdivision area. We've identified it as the Flowery Range area so that there's really not, so that there's a distinction between the two areas when we're talking. But identifying that there's definitely needs to be buffers and trying to keep that Mark Twain neighborhood as whole as it is right now and keep that lifestyle that the people value. As Austin explained, you know, just identifying this as a transitionary doesn't mean that it's done. There's lots of things to figure out. That's just the first step in identifying like a big picture of where could something fit. If you look at some of our mapping that was done for the slope analysis for the whole county, in the mapping that's in there, the red and the orange is the very steep areas. You know, most of the county turns up red. So that also helped in our determining, like, what kind of terrain do we have, and where can we physically put something a bigger scale of something rather than just one estate home or there could go. So we've written that into this master plan, is amended that Flowery Range area. We've also written in that those things have to be considerate of the quality of lifestyle of the Mark Twain Estates and those surrounding larger homes. And then as Austin mentioned too, if we did have a developer that wanted to come do something, they would still need to come in and change the zoning. That's a whole public hearing process, public involvement process. They would need to do subdivision maps or PUD maps. That's a whole nother public process that would go along. They would need to identify where they're getting their water from. We're not going to be approving something that doesn't have any of their services. You know, they would need to show how they're dealing with their sewer situation. So there's a lot of things that still come into play. This is just really the first step of identifying, like in a big overall map, this area might work the best for that type of thing. So we've had public planning commission meetings all throughout this fall, usually twice a month, which is a little bit more than we typically usually have once a month. The planning commission has been very helpful reading through this, making suggestions, and incorporating that. We've had a few residents that have also attended and given us input, and we've looked at that and modified a few little things along the way to address what their concerns were. And so at December 5th, we had our Planning Commission meeting, and the Planning Commission at that time recommended, they approved the resolution and the map changes that we had. So today we're here, we had our public hearing with this. You know, we have talked with Mr. Zachary before, understand where he's coming from. But we feel that the document that we've got in front of us is what we need to keep moving and then start working on all these projects and things that have been identified in the plan to move forward. So that's all I have. I don't know if you have any questions. If you have any additional comments, the document itself has been finalized. The one thing we did at the Planning Commission, there were a couple typos and some little things that still needed to be addressed. All those things were done after the Planning Commission meeting, and then the document was posted. So it's been, the final document has been online for a little while now. So,
all right.
So that's all I have at the moment, unless I can answer some questions.
Thank you, Kathy. Mm-hmm. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Kathy right now?
I have none, except thank you, Kathy, for all the work and a very positive outcome here. Thank you, Butch.
Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman?
I don't have any questions. I may have some comments later.
Okay. Is there any public comment? All right. Not seeing any. You prepare to make a motion?
Yeah, I can make a motion. I just had a thought or two that I wanted to express. And first of all, you know, this is a huge undertaking and lots of time and effort by both our staff and the community, and I really appreciate that. You know, as Mr. Zachary identified, there are pressures that we feel. In some ways, we're a victim of our own success. years ago, we didn't have a whole lot to lose because we didn't have a whole lot going on, and now we do. And as a result, it's important for us to, as Austin mentioned earlier, I think, be very thoughtful about guiding our own future as opposed to having it imposed on us. And that doesn't make the decisions any easier as far as balancing competing needs and competing visions of kind of what should be done. But I feel like I've been pretty involved in the process, went to a lot of the meetings. I'm a glutton for punishment, and I enjoy that kind of thing. And I think that this plan allows us to address the concerns that we have and kind of reflect where the community is now, and at the same time have safeguards and reasonable approaches to regulating those competing needs and interests. And I feel like we've gotten to a pretty good place with it. Certainly this is a living document. I'd anticipate the next 5 years will probably be 5 years as opposed to seven or eight that it took us to get this one done. and we can take a look at if it's proceeding the way that we plan and if we need to make adjustments and keep moving forward. So Once again, my appreciation for Kathy, for you and your staff, and all the work that you've done on this, looking forward to continuing. One of the things that really struck me, this is my last comment, and I'll be happy to make a motion. One of the things that really struck me is I was very involved in the 2016 master plan process, and what I had not realized is how much it had actually guided the development of our community. And as we went through this process, it was amazing to go through and look at the priorities and the goals that were outlined in that, and they go, oh, wow, we actually did these things. And it's so incremental and so slow that often you don't notice it happening. But it's so valuable for us, especially when pressures come at us, to be able to use this and say, this is what the community decided for the future. And so those are my comments.
Thank you. Well stated, Vice Chairman. You prepared to make a motion?
I am. Based on the findings of fact shown in resolution number 2024-752 and conformance with federal, state, and county regulations and the existing 2016 Story County Master Plan, the recommendation for approval by staff and the adoption of the plan by the Planning Commission, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve resolution number 2024-752, a resolution adopting the 2024 Story County Master Plan, including comprehensive text amendments to the existing Story County Master Plan, including the following elements: land use, population, housing, economic development, transportation, public service and facilities, water and natural resources, cultural and historical resources, and other provisions thereof. The resolution also includes comprehensive map amendments to the existing Story County Master Plan area and land use designation maps.
Second the motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. Kathy, did you have findings?
No, there's no findings. The resolution, I believe, Brian, if you're okay with it, the resolution title was listed in his motion. Are you okay with that, or should I read it separately?
No, that's okay, since he read the title into the motion.
Thank you.
You don't need to read it again.
Great. Thank you. So there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Kathy. Thank you, everybody. Yep. All right, on to item number 18, this is discussion for possible action. Review and possible approval of the Story County audited financial statements for year ending June 30, 2024, completed by DiPietro and Thornton.
Good morning, Jennifer McCain, Story County Comptroller, for the record.
Morning.
This is an audit by an external agency as required by NRS. The chosen company was DiPietro and Thornton. I think we ended the year on a positive note, but Joe Costanza will give us more details.
Thank you all for having me. Just so you know, my name is Joe Costanza, CPA with the firm DiPietro and Thornton. I'm a partner there, and we have done this audit for numerous couple years here, and I greatly thank you guys for giving us the opportunity to serve you, and really appreciate it. And we're very proud to be associated with Story County in this way. What we do in the audit is we do have two facets of the audit. Number one is we do need to make sure all the numbers are accurate and that you are getting financial statements that show exactly how the county's doing. And the other factor of our audit is to make sure that the accounting system that the county has is appropriate and will give you accurate financial statements through the year and give you accurate financial statements that we can sign off on. The good news is that the statements do get an unqualified opinion. This means that everything in there, we do not believe it is materially off. We've done a lot of work to make sure of that, and we do feel that these statements are accurate and show the health of the county as a whole. That being said, the health of the county is very strong. Right now, this has been a very good few years. Last year, the profit of the county was $22,700,000, which is up from $16,300,000 the year before. The net position of the county has gone from $61 million to $84 million over the year. And one of the things that this has created has the county has built up its cash balance to $94.5 million from $74 million the year before. Now, the one thing I'd like to point out, the one thing I wanted to point out about our audit that we do every year, $94.5 million, if that was in my bank account, I'd say I'd never have to worry about cash again. I don't have to worry about what I spend it on. But for a county, unfortunately, that's not the case. And one of the things that we do is make sure that the investments that this county has are investments that both qualify under the statutes and the rules that you have, and also that aren't going to be too risky. And one of the things we go through, and if you ever look at the audit on page, I think it's 42, we go through and look at all the investments that the county has made. And we make sure that this cash that has been earned by the county is going to earn profit, going to earn investment income, but is not at risk. And you could see from that that the county has really followed those, and the investments that they have are not very risky proposals. They're all bonds, certificates of risk. They're all rated very highly. And so one of the things that we'd like to point out is that even though the cash is growing, it is being kept safe, because we do know, like I said, cash is necessary for all times for the county, because expenses are quite large, and there are a lot of things that, as we've heard, and they're in this meeting that are hoping to get done for the county. One of the things that I like to point out each year is, and it's a good thing, is the accounting system here keeps getting better as you've grown. I think there's been at least one more person in the accounting office than the past, and it's been a seamless transition throughout everyone. The communication from different departments has always been great. And I will say that even though the county has grown over the years and things got a little bit more complex, the accounting systems have actually increased better with that. And every year I get a little bit better feeling of looking at everything and knowing that everything is done in a way that the county residents, you know, could feel really good about and know that their money and their accounting records are safe. And they're always looking for ways to improve. And because of that, I like to say that, because now I got to be the mean auditor. One of the things as an auditor is I don't want to just come up here and rubber stamp everything and say how great everything is. I'm always looking for ways to improve the county, things that come up, things that I see that maybe, you know, suggestions that need to be fixed. Luckily, there have always been things that I've seen that there hasn't really been an issue, but I just see them as maybe creating an issue in the future. The first thing we noticed this year is, and it's something that happens every year, is that we actually draft and write up the financial statements for the county. The ideal thing is that the county does their own financial statements. In actuality, as a county of your size, that just doesn't happen. And what we do as a firm because of that is we do have to segregate our firm. We have people who never work on the audit who have been in with governmental, and they have to review all the financial statements to make sure as a second check. So there are ways that we get around that and make sure that you are getting a good product. But one of the things I like to point out is within the comptroller's office, there has been a push the last few years to kind of do the statements themselves. I don't know if that's ever going to happen, but what they've got to the point is almost that maybe they could do them themselves. So they really push back on a lot of things that are in there to say, okay, I want to make sure of this. They have a lot more. You know, I think if they had the time, they would be sit down and just write all these statements themselves. It's just kind of a, you know, what a county at this size, it's kind of a harder thing. But one of the things I know Jennifer's been working with, especially with Tyler coming on, is getting these done within the Tyler system. So while that is something that stays in there and I'm not sure it will ever go away, I do actually see hope that at some point it may go away, that they may move from something that they shouldn't even be doing at this size to having the complexity and knowledge to be able to do it. So I do see great growth in that. I never mentioned that to Jennifer until right now, so she's just hearing that. The other issue that happened is in governmental statements, in the fund statements, if you have a receivable, in most accountings you would book that as a receivable and book the income. For the fund statements, you can only book that if you receive that the first 2 months of the year. So as part of our audit, we review the deposits for July and August of the next year, which would be July and August of 2024. When I went to review those deposits in October, at the end of October, I noticed that the August deposits had not been made. And one of the things is the accounting system, I think timeliness is very important. So it was one of the things, first thing I talked to Jennifer, talked to Jim. And we've really told them that these things kind of need to be done on a timely basis. And they both said that they'd work to get them in as soon as possible. Now, at this point, as an auditor, they could have maybe got them in the next day and sent them to me. And I didn't tell them this, but that's not what I wanted. I didn't want to, part of me was watching to make sure they still said we're going to do it right and take their time to get it done. So that's a very important thing. But it's still something that the timeliness of the deposits and the timeliness of the record keeping needs to be an important part of the accounting features, accounting system. You're going to catch errors less, and you're more likely to make errors when you're catching up and behind and not reviewing it. And also, it's very important for the county to have up-to-date financial statements that they can look at and know where the county is. So one of the things we did have to write that up. Now, as a write-up, there are a couple things we can do. There's a material weakness and a significant deficiency. Now, material weakness means something like this error that we've pinpoint will lead to a material error. A significant weakness is something that could lead to an error. And one of the things, as I said before, the fact that they did get it caught up, but they got it caught up correctly, and they also had another staff member come in and help and had a plan for this not to happen, to me made it so that it was just a significant deficiency. I didn't think it was going to mean the statements were material off, but I still thought it was very important to tell the board, to tell the residents, and you know, to help out with the accounting system to give a recommendation that this doesn't happen again. I wasn't met with resistance. I was met with kind of just, okay, what do we have to do to fix it? And this shouldn't have happened. So that's why, luckily, when this first happened, I was worried it was going to be material weakness. By the end, I was very, very satisfied that we were looking more at a significant deficiency, which is something that doesn't give rise to a problem in the accounting system, but it's something that you guys need to know about and something that does need to be fixed. So that was what was I recorded in there. So those were the two deficiencies. In the prior years, we had a couple deficiencies. One was the financial statements. A couple other ones were bank recs not being done on time and a couple other things, but all those were fixed during the year. There was one issue where one of the other ones in the prior year where there were negative amounts in accounts that looked off. That happened again this year, but the difference this year was when I asked, I was immediately given why they were off, and it was a correct thing. It was a big refund that had been given out. So kind of what I suggested in 2023 was actually taken to heart, which made me feel good. And I'd like to point out as an auditor, this does not mean your accounting's bad. It does not mean your system's terrible. It's something that I just noticed, that it's something that I hope that you can implement to help it. And know in your heart that if I saw something that was really bad and that was leading to you guys having a bad accounting system, I would tell you right now that there was trouble. I just think that I'd like to point this out so we never get to trouble, so no one's ever upset and I never have to give you financial statements that aren't proper. With that, I'd like to open it up to any questions that anyone has.
Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
I have no questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No, Joe, thank you. Thanks for walking us through that. I guess my only question is just for Jennifer and Jim, do you feel sufficiently reprimanded? And as far as getting those reports closed.
Okay. Jim Hindle, Treasurer for Story County. To Commissioner Mitchell's statement, I just want to make it clear that Joe and I had conversations, Jennifer and I, Austin and I. The Treasurer's Office very much had a deficiency as we went into the audit, came through August. You know that we went a person down, the significant position of the Deputy Treasurer, and we were scrambling to try and cover that at the same time with this, in this evolution, when we had the general election going on at the same time. It was one that we take to heart because we've got to be better prepared for transitions like that. We need to have we have procedures in place, but those procedures are learning processes when you have somebody new thrown into that equation. One thing I want to emphasize is that, and maybe this is just a nuance on your comments, Joe, money was always deposited. in the bank. We always had the money. We always had control of the money. The issue where we were weak was the accounting management of that into Tyler. And that's where we have to improve. And that, I believe, with the sheriff, is the sheriff still here? With the sheriff's support in managing personnel transition, we were able to come up to speed on that very quickly. We're still working to get completely caught up, but we are very confident now that we have everything into the system, and we are going through and being able to close out the calendar year or the second quarter of our fiscal year. The other side of it will be strategic planning. That will be helpful in mapping out how we see the growth and the challenges as the county develops for the office and what we need to start anticipating for the office and the budgeting cycle, which will allow us to help really look at our resources and how we accommodate all the tasks that we have to accomplish. So we take it to heart. This is no reflection on the comptroller's office. The deficiency was squarely in the personnel transition we were going through in the treasurer's office, and we're going to address that.
Thank you.
Jennifer McCain again. I want to tell Jim I appreciate his comments and reiterate everything that he said. The comptroller's office is working very closely with the treasurer's office, as we always do, but to make sure that we have multiple people that can handle these situations when one staff member leaves or is out for a long term.
I would like just to touch on something Jim said. I was confused, and I just want to make sure. The deposits and everything, the deficiency was everything not being put in Tyler in the accounting system. The money was not at risk. If that was, there would be a material weakness, and like I said, we'd have a much harder conversation. It was just everything was not being put in Tyler, and it had been up until July. It was just kind of in August that it had happened. So there was nothing there that in any way the money was not at risk. It would have been put in the bank and invested. The first thing I did was check the bank statement to make sure that everything was being deposited. And Jim is correct, and I do apologize if anybody got that thought. It was more just an accounting timing issue that happened. And also, I'd like to point out that when this was pointed out to both the comptrollers, city manager, and Jim, there was never any pushback on you can't say this or you can't. It was just what do we have to do to get better. And immediately, that's what they went through. So, and I do appreciate that from Jim, just working with me and taking everything, not taking it to as something against him, just a suggestion to fix things.
Thank you. Vice Chairman, do you have anything else before I ask for public comment? All right. Is there any public comment regarding this item? All right, not seeing any. You guys were all done? Mm-hmm. All right. Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
I am. Commissioner Mitchell moved to approve the Story County audited financial statements for the year ending June 30th, 2024.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Joe. Jennifer,
thank
Jim.
You very much.
All right. Moving on to item number 19, which is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of an updated memorandum of understanding between Story County and the Community Chest. CCI will continue to allow the county's IT department to install certain microwave radio and other telecom equipment on CCI's Community Center building located at 175 East Carson Street, Virginia City, Nevada, for use by the county or for its adjacent Story County Swimming Pool, Virginia City Senior Center, Miners Park, and other county facilities, and for use by the CCI to provide social and community services to the county, for the CCI to provide electricity costs for the equipment, and for the county to provide CCI certain computer network and technological troubleshooting, repair, and other minor technology services for equipment owned by CCI. Lisa?
Good morning. Lisa Michelle for the record. We went through and looked at the MOU between our IT department and Community Chest because the last MOU was last signed in November of 2021. Just with all the different advances in technology, we thought that it would be a good idea to go back, read through it, make sure that it was current and up to date. Essentially, the intention and the responsibilities are all the same. It was basically some minor grammatical and some spelling changes that we made, and everything else remains the same. I don't know if James wants to add anything on to that.
I agree.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
I have no questions, thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No, I'm good, thank you.
Is there any public comment? All right, not seeing any. Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
I am. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the updated Memorandum of Understanding between Story County and the Community Chest for CCI, or Community Chest, to continue to allow the county's IT department to install certain microwave, radio, and other telecommunications equipment on CCI's Community Center building located at 175 East Carson Street in Virginia City, Nevada, for use by the county for its adjacent Story County Swimming Pool, Virginia City Senior Center, Miners Park, and other area county facilities, and for use by the CCI to provide social and community services to the county, for the CCI to provide electricity costs for the equipment, and for the county to provide CCI certain computer and network technology troubleshooting, technological troubleshooting, repair, and other minor technology services for equipment owned by CCI.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, James.
Thank you.
And moving right along to item number 20 is to recess to convene as the Story County Fire Protection District Board, bringing us to item number 21, which is discussion for possible action. Annual review and evaluation of the performance of Jeremy Longcar, Story County Fire Chief, for the time period December 21, 2023 through December 20, 2024. Brandy?
Hi, Brandy Lopez for the record. We're going to be reviewing the character, competence, and performance of the Fire Chief today. Jeremy has been notified of all of his rights and has agreed to them. The evaluation format is the same that we've used previously, and it's up to you, the board, on how you would like to go through it, if you'd like to go item, line item by line item, or holistically as a whole. Jeremy has also completed a self-evaluation and has been included, and I have included that in the packet for you guys to review. At the end of the annual performance evaluation, the board may modify existing goals and objectives for the fire chief. If the evaluation is then deemed satisfactory, Jeremy will receive a step increase consistent with the amount given to non-represented fire personnel. And that is all I have. Unless you have any questions for me, I'll let you begin his review.
Thank you. Assuming that my fellow commissioners are all right, we sort of set a practice that we just do the concise version rather than go step by step. Vice Chairman, you still okay with that?
Yeah, that's good for me.
Commissioner Gumman, you good with that?
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Brandy, were you going to kick anything else off?
No.
Okay. Do you have anything to say before a decision is granted, Jeremy?
Jeremy Longcar, for the record, as normal, I'll stand up here where it's an easy target. So, no, I'm just here to answer any questions you may have, elaborate on any anything that was pointed out within that self-eval, and basically answer any questions.
All right. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any comments or questions for the chief at this point?
You know, candidly, I just want to thank the chief very much for the services he's provided. I have the greatest respect for his efforts and leadership and where he's taken our community safety. So I have nothing but praise and confidence, and thank you so much, Jeremy, for everything you've done for Story County.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. Vice Chairman?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'll echo those sentiments. I found the self-evaluation very comprehensive and right on point. And I don't really have a whole lot else to add. Really happy with the leadership that the chiefs provide.
Thank you. I just want to take a few moments. You know, one, Jeremy, I think you're very fair in your self-evaluation. Obviously, it's appreciated. Not everybody is a perfect individual. To note some of the faults and what you're going to do to change that, I think shows a definite good character. I've had the opportunity to work with you for quite a few years now, and I've seen what you've done with the fire district. You know, I think the biggest thing that I'd like to compliment you on and your team on is that the turnover has been virtually non-existent. When I first came on this commission, I think we were losing firefighters left and right, train them out, and then after a year or two, they leave. So the fact that we haven't really had a lot of turnover, I think, speaks volumes to your leadership. In addition to your the way that you are very frugal in your expenses, but at the same time making sure that our guys have everything that they need as far as equipment, keeping our crews safe out there. You know, you've done a great job financially. You do a great job with staff. Like I said, I think morale is at an all-time high, and that, again, reflects on your leadership skills. With that said, I mean, I like the rest of the commission, are very happy with where we're at right now as a fire district. You know, it wasn't that long ago that we all thought the fire district was broke, and you've miraculously, with the help of our comptroller, have turned that around to where we're not concerned that the fire district is going to be broke. So, again, for those that don't know the inner workings, the fire district, I think, is doing well as a whole. And Jeremy should definitely be complimented for those efforts. So,
thank you. I appreciate that, Commissioner.
Yep. Is there any public comment? All right. Not seeing any, unless my fellow commissioners have any other words.
I have just one other thing.
Sure.
I'm wondering if maybe, Jeremy, you can comment on some sort of mitigation plan to stop stealing county employees because the morale is so good over at the fire district.
That's on the record.
We're working with that. But if I may, I'd like to just add some kind of closing comments. And
please.
And more so is just to provide kind of, you know, in this evaluation, I reflected a lot on just what our mission and our goal was this last previous year. I think we've really stepped up our game in prevention. Obviously, looking after the community, providing more services. You know, as we become more financially healthier, we've gotten the staff to support these programs. Our guys really stepped it up. And again, my successes are all on the back of my staff. You know, I got great staff. They say you want to be a good leader, you surround yourself with great people. Fortunately, you know, I had the opportunity to pick whether it's stealing from the county or, you know, surrounding counties. But however, we built a really great team. So moving forward, some of the things that the board's brought up, we've talked about in the past, a little bit about succession planning. And that is a really big thing. We're growing rapidly. And because of the growth, we need to develop more leadership interior within our ranks versus always having to go to the outside, right? The people we currently have on staff understand the culture of Story County. Now we just need to develop them as leaders. So we put a primary focus on that as well this last year. We've offered up a lot of training. We've got guys out, got a lot of certifications, expanded our programs. And that's still something that we're going to strongly, you know, emphasize and push in this upcoming year is just more succession planning. Before too long, hopefully we're adding more captains to our ranks as we build up the staffing in our stations. Well, we've now gained a reputation of, we don't just give that to you. You know, we go through a very thorough testing process with HR, and we vet them very well because they're the future leaders. So we want to make sure we're putting them in spots that they're successful. And when they're successful, the community is obviously benefiting off of that. So just in moving forward into 2025, that's, again, going to be one of our major focuses, is getting our staffing up, but also developing the future leaders of the fire service. We all know we're not going to be around forever, so let's develop those people within that understand our community. And with that, I'll just take any more questions, and I'll shut up and let you carry about your business.
Thank you, Chief. Is there any public comment? All right, not seeing any. Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
When they don't give me a recommended one, I'm not as prepared as I usually am. And maybe, some guidance on, I mean, you know, so what's on my mind is certainly to find more than satisfactory in all levels.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts as far as specific elements to a motion from the board?
I would just say keep it simple.
Okay.
And then for Brandy's evaluation, can you note down that she didn't put a motion on?
You are supposed to come up with that. I can't tell you what to say about his performance.
Just to take whatever action the board deems appropriate.
At least nudge us in the right direction, Brandy. There you go.
So I, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, move to acknowledge Fire Chief Jeremy Longcar as scoring excellent or above satisfactory in all areas in this review, to commend his work and to award the customary step increase for this year.
Works for me. Is that good for you, Brian? Yes.
Yes, that meets the requirement as identified in the agendized item.
Sounds great. Thank you very
much. And I second them.
All right. There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Congratulations, Chief.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brandy. We'd rather hassle you next time. All right, moving on to item number 22 is to recess to convene as the Story County Liquor Licensing Board. Bringing us to item number 23, which is for discussion and possible action. Welcome, Sheriff.
Good morning.
Morning. This is for consideration and possible approval of the second reading of the on-sale, off-sale liquor license. Applicant is Young Soup Co., Lost Soul Saloon, 5 North C Street, Virginia City, Nevada.
Deputy Frank Valdez for the reading. Good morning.
Morning.
Since the last reading, no further information has been obtained. There are no disqualifiers. I have no further information on that, unless there are any questions.
Great. Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments?
No questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No, I don't have any questions.
All right. Sheriff?
No, thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
I am. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the second reading of the on-sale, off-sale liquor license. Applicant is Young Soup Co., Lost Soul Saloon, 5 North C Street, Virginia City, Nevada.
Second the motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 24, this discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the second reading for on-sale, off-sale liquor license. Applicant is Jin Jung Song, Jaime Cafe, 5 North C Street, Virginia City, Nevada.
Since the last reading, again, no further information was obtained. No disqualifiers, and no further unless there are any questions.
Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments?
No questions, thank you.
Vice Chairman?
I don't have any questions, thank you.
Sheriff, do you have anything?
None, thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
I am. I just have one comment I wanted to make. I actually had the opportunity to meet the owner of the Lost Soul Saloon, and that's a little bit of a misnomer because it's a restaurant. The name is catchy, but it's more of a restaurant than it is a saloon. And this, the Jaime Cafe is actually owned by his sister. It's more of a kind of a boba spot, some like custom ramen stuff, whereas he's doing wings, burgers, and rice bowls and stuff like that. And they're open now, as I understand it. So I just thought I'd share that for the education of the public.
Great, thank you.
And with that, I will make a motion. I, Commissioner Mitchell, Move to approve the second reading of the on-sale, off-sale liquor license. Applicant is Jin Jusong, High May Cafe, 5 North C Street, Virginia City, Nevada.
Second that motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Thank you. All right, we're on to item number 25, so recess to convene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners, bringing us item number 26, which is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the of a memorandum of understanding between Story County and Churchill Communications for phase two, the remainder of Story County, deploying and providing rate structures and fiber optic broadband internet service to residential, commercial, and enterprise customers in Story County. James?
Good morning, Commissioners. James Dean, Story County IT Director. So this is updating an existing MOU. We are moving into phase two, which is going to include the Highlands, but also all other areas of Story County. We've consolidated phase two and phase three into phase two, and this is the updated language to reflect that.
Thank you, James. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
No questions or comments, thank you.
Vice Chairman?
I don't have any questions.
Public comment? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the Memorandum of Understanding between Story County and CC Communications, ongoing operation of Churchill County, Nevada, for phase two, the remainder of Story County, deploying and providing rate structures for fiber optic broadband internet service to residential, commercial, and enterprise customers in Story County.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 27. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of a service provider agreement between CC Communications and Story County for phase two of all Story County for the deployment and maintenance of fiber optic broadband network infrastructure in Story County, and to provide residential broadband internet, commercial broadband service, and enterprise broadband service for 10 years with payments not exceeding $6,700,000 made to CCComs by Story County in accordance with the board, in accordance with the memorandum of understanding between the parties approved by the board on or before this agreement and other properly related matters. James?
So again, this is the updated service provider agreement, which is going to cover the entirety of Story County, not just the Highlands, but also Mark Twain, the industrial park. Essentially, anyone that has a telephone pole will be able to get service with direct fiber. There will be provisions for people that are not close or off-grid. We can shoot microwave links to that. There will be provisions for that. The $6.7 million is not going to be made as a whole payment. We will be paying as the service is installed, so this is not going to be reflected in this year's budget or all in next year's budget. We will pay as we go, so I anticipate this probably taking about 2 years to roll out through the Highlands and the other areas of the county, weather permitting.
All right. Thank you, James.
Yep.
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
No questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
I don't have any questions. I just want to express my thanks both to you, Chairman Carmona, and to James and everyone else on the team that's made this happen. I think this is a big deal for our county, and I'm excited that we'll be able to provide these kind of services for our residents.
Thank you, Vice Chairman Mitchell. I do just want to take a moment, too. It's been a long time coming. For those that don't know, construction should be starting here in Virginia City anytime. I believe they were waiting for the fiber. And to be able to work with our team, the folks out at RISI back east, the engineering firm that Google covered the cost for, as well as working with Churchill County, it's been an excellent experience. We had the ribbon cutting back in October for Virginia City, and I'm just glad to see that, you know, while this may not be you know, what every single resident wants, I think the majority of folks are happy. And this is a small way to maybe give back to the community for the waiting for the benefits coming out of the industrial park. So I just want to say thank you again, obviously, to my fellow commissioners for even considering this, and for our team for working their tails off to do what they can to make this happen. So With that said, is there any public comment? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, do you care to make a motion?
Yes, sir. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the service provider agreement between CC Communications, ongoing operation of Churchill County, Nevada, and Story County for phase two, all of Story County, for the deployment and maintenance of fiber optic broadband network infrastructure in Story County, and to provide residential broadband internet, commercial broadband service, and enterprise broadband service for 10 years, with payments not to exceed $6.7 million made to CC Communications by Story County, in accordance with the Memorandum of Understanding between the parties approved by the Board on or before this agreement and other properly related matters.
Second the motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, James.
Thank you, Commissioners.
All right. Moving right along to item number 28, discussion for possible action. Update decision and provide direction to county staff and lobbyists regarding upcoming bills and legislation affecting Story County, including but not limited to the following and other properly related matters. SB 69, Story County Bill, adjusting tax abatement programming, sales and use, property and other tax abatement categories, county boundary line adjustment, historic district considerations, health and human services, and other BDRs and bills potentially affecting Story County. Austin.
All right. Thank you, Commissioners. Austin Osborne, County Manager, for the record. I also want to point out that Alex Tanchek from Silver State Government Relations, our principal lobbyist firm, is also here and may want to come up if you would like and join in on the conversation. This is very early in the legislative session, so what the discussion today is, I anticipate, will be a little bit broad and not very detailed at this point. Come on up, Alex. And I just want to thank Alex and Will and his team. They work round the clock, day and night, holidays and weekends. That is not an exaggeration for what this group does with our team. So thank you. And providing not only lobbying services, but technical background and review of bills and other sorts of things. You're welcome to come up when you have a chance here and talk about what you do there with that sort of stuff. So just overall at this point, it's our understanding at this point that the bills that a county or a local jurisdiction or city may submit, that deadline has passed, and that there's also a deadline that has passed for bills that would be submitted by legislators and senators generally. So at this point, we're not seeing anything in the LCB at this point that is of major concern with regard to regional matters or the county's budget. But our team, I'll pass it to Alex in a bit, is monitoring bills that deal with all different types of things that we deal with, whether it's justice or indigent care or other programs. We are monitoring, however, will be for the rest of the session. The governor still has abilities to submit bills. Legislative leadership and others and committees can submit bills, and we're watching to see what might happen with that with regard to some of the things we've experienced in the past that are more regional and may be pointed and directed at Story County. So far, we're not seeing anything in that regard. It's important to note that part of our lobbyist and our government relations plan deals with looking at regional matters, talking with folks off the Hill like Washoe RTC, leadership and mayors and leaders off the Hill in other jurisdictions. We have a transportation and a housing plan. Thank you for adopting the master plan. That was a major part of this. And also there's items, as you see on the agenda today, that also look at strategic planning, contributing to regional programs and other matters that are kind of helping Story County monitor and be involved in what goes on in Northern Nevada, which hopefully will translate into less issues occurring down at the legislature. One bill that we have submitted to LCB, which is Senate Bill 69, this bill has been prepared. And we've met with the Governor's Office of Economic Development to look at the bill that Story County submitted to address the $1.0 and $3.5 billion category tax abatement programs that from this point forward, they would not affect anything currently existing, such as Redwood or Tesla. GOED's office actually looked at the bill. They have some things they'd like to talk with us, some details, and maybe work with us in the Department of Taxation on some things, but generally it's being accepted as it's going to move forward and be a discussion point for those that are interested. And otherwise, at this point, we have a strategic plan in place that we're looking at the whole gamut of how we're handling government relations, as well as bills that we're looking at sponsoring and others that will be submitted. And at this point, I also want to mention there is a bill that we've been working on with Washoe County in the Lockwood matter. The parties were not able to come to agreement at this point. The matter is moot. So we are moving on. At this point, Alex, do you have anything you want to discuss?
I didn't really have too much. Alex Stanchek with the Silver State Government Relations. I didn't really have too much to add to what Austin said. One thing I would say, though, is there is still an opportunity for legislators to submit a couple BDRs. The first week of session, first 2 weeks, senators are given two extra BDRs. Assemblymen are given one extra BDR. So there is an opportunity for legislators to continue to have something that may come up between now and session. I don't really have anything else to add to what Austin said. Mid-January, the governor will be releasing his budget, giving his State of the State address, and then usually about a week after the State of the State, the legislative money committees will meet in joint session to kind of go over high-level details of that budget. And then first Monday in February, session begins. And that's really all that I have. Happy to answer any questions.
Perfect. Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Austin. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Alex or Austin?
I do not. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman?
I guess my first question would be, is there specific guidance that you're looking for at this point?
Thank you, Commissioner Mitchell. At this point, it's really an early introduction of what we're dealing with. So there is a motion there if you choose to give direction on anything. I would, of course, ask, it would be good officially to give direction on SB 69 to proceed forward, working with the Governor's Office of Economic Development, legislative leadership, and sharing and discussing that bill with other legislators as well as leaders in the area. I think that would be good direction to staff and lobbyists. And then the rest of that motion that's written in front of you always has that open-ended item and other potential legislative matters affecting Story County. I don't see it this early in the game that we would have to convene any special county commission meetings or anything. Just a reminder that that sort of thing could happen as we get closer and closer into the legislative session if a major bill were to come affecting Story County or protected or potentially affecting us. And we're still monitoring everything. And as we had discussed in the past, this year we've really been working very hard over the last 12 months, not just the last 12 weeks, and trying to be proactive, talking with folks in the region and participating in regional discussions. As you see, we have an agenda item today that's regional, and really being involved in those conversations that deal with transportation and housing and regional development and growth, economic development, the SB1 kind of stuff, as we call it, the 2014 version, and really trying to get ahead of that ball. So we're already in conversations with folks before bills start hitting the legislature. And I'm very grateful for Alex and Will and Helen and Bum and our team, as well as you, have been involved very intricately in this, and our elected officials in their respective departments in all doing the same and being proactive and having these discussions. That's all I have. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Yeah, I certainly feel like we're a bit more prepared going into this session than maybe we have been in some of the past sessions. That being said, it comes at you quickly, right? Mm-hmm. I wonder how my fellow commissioners feel about maybe instructing staff, in addition to specifically proceeding forward and building support behind our bill, maybe just kind of generally asking that the team establish relationships with new legislators, renew relationships with existing legislators, and kind of prepare as we get towards the session. There's one other bill, and it's kind of alluded to here, and it may be too early to take a position on it because it may still be kind of developing, but that's SB 78. One of the governor's goals has been to streamline a lot of regulation and bureaucracy within the state. And I would say, as a general rule, I'm supportive of that goal. This particular bill proposes rolling several state commissions into one to streamline. One of the commissions that's being proposed to be rolled in is the Comstock Historic District. And it would be rolled into a new statewide commission for cultural and historic preservation. And again, it may be too early because the plans on the bill are still kind of coming together and the specifics are getting worked out. So we may just want to ask for a watch and see from the team. But I could see that being difficult for our residents who live in the historic district when they need to get a certificate of appropriateness. If it's a statewide commission that's maybe meeting around the state in different places, it could be significantly more difficult to get the appropriate permissions. My concern is not only the burden placed on the residents, but how many residents are just going to say, or residents or business owners are just going to say, it's too much of a hassle, I'm just going to go around and not get my certificate of appropriateness, and then we end up with significant degradation of the historic district. So again, I'm not sure if we need to take a position on it, but definitely probably something we need to watch for as it proceeds, and be ready to take a position as it finalizes.
If I may, commissioners, there is a provision in the language here dealing with historic district matters, and purposefully very broad at this point. So adding that would give us a little bit of backing from the board to have those discussions. There have been conversations. It's very early at this point, and I think there may be some powers at the state level trying to make adjustments to that, hopefully in the right direction. But I think that would be just fine, as we anticipate probably mid-January, early January, when we have our next meeting, that bill or bills related to it are going to have a little bit more substance, either in going the direction we think or maybe not going that direction and being resolved.
Great. So what you're saying is you think it'd be sufficient for us to keep an eye on it, monitor,
and participate in discussions. I think that'd be excellent.
Great. Before I don't know where we are in things. Was it just my comments?
I don't think I went to public comment yet. Yeah.
Thank you. Those were my comments.
No problem. All right. Is there any public comment? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
I'll do my best. Commissioner Mitchell, move to direct county staff and lobbyists to represent Story County on known BDRs, bills, and other potential legislation affecting Story County as follows. To move forward and work with GOED, legislative leadership, and interested parties to build support behind SB 69, which is our bill. To monitor and participate in discussions around SB 78. And the potential impacts on the Historic District Commission, and to establish and renew relationships with legislators and legislative leadership in advance of the coming legislative session.
Mr. Chair, may I add something to that?
And yeah. Just,
I think it might help. Thank you, Austin Osborne, for the record. For SB 78, with you bringing up that, Commissioner Mitchell, does this board, are you prepared at this time to direct us so we can have these conversations representing the board, that this board would support whatever changes are needed to made to amend SB 78 to not affect the Comstock Historic District negatively, adversely for local businesses, builders, or whatever, that would give a little backing to us too. We're not just going to have conversations, but we're going to say our board really wants to keep things as close to the way they are currently as possible, generally.
You're all right with that?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
That works for me.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any heartache with that?
I do not, thank you.
All right.
So I will just modify my motion to authorize staff to express a desire to mitigate any impacts or negative impacts on the historic district and its residents and other constituents.
Back to the motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Austin.
Thanks, Alex. Appreciate it.
Moving on to item number 29, this is discussion for possible action. Discussion and possible consideration setting the gross billing franchise fee to a percentage pursuant to Article 9 of the 2024 to 2034 Solid Waste Collection Franchise Agreement between Story County and Waste Management Nevada, Inc. County Manager.
All right. Thank you, Commissioners. Austin Osborne for the record. I also want to point out the representatives from Waste Management are here with us, including Kendra Kostoleski and her team. You're welcome to come up anytime you would like to, if you'd like to join in on this or answer any questions. Article 9 of the Waste Management Franchise Agreement we have for solid waste collection and recycling between Waste Management and Story County has an element where this board sets by resolution a franchise fee. A franchise fee, in a way, you could say, is a tipping fee to the county, and some of that money can be used to offset impacts and things that would be related to Waste Management, such as roads or the sorts. At this point, there is a default that Waste Management has put in at 8%, which was the prior agreement's franchise fee. But at this point, we will need direction from the board on what you would like to set. We did put together a little performa here in front of you, so you have an idea what a franchise fee would cost based generally, and this is very rough numbers, on the revenues that Waste Management receives from this franchise agreement. So if you have a 0% franchise agreement, it'd be a $0 impact. And currently at 8%, it's roughly about a $560,000 impact. That money is funds that the county receives into its general fund each year from the franchise agreement. That number can go up and down based on the revenues that actually occur in the field with regard to collection of waste. So at this point, we ask that you take a look at that range. And if you want to look outside that range, we could always help you with that as well. And just seek board direction on what you would like with a franchise fee over the next year period. I do want to point out, and Kendra, if I am correct, that the first billings that went out, they include an 8% franchise fee with them. If this board were to choose something lower or a zero impact fee, that you would reimburse in the next bill or some way to provide that money back to the ratepayer. Thank you, Kendra. I'm happy to answer any questions. And
all right.
Yeah.
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for the Waste Management folks or for Austin?
I'd reserve my comments to my other commissioners. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman?
I have two questions, Kendra, if it's all right. The first one is I just want to confirm that this franchise fee is totally separate or unconnected from any sort of tonnage fees at the landfill. It seemed like I remember that being a separate line item on our budget.
Yeah, you're correct. So the franchise fee is a percentage of the total billings that WM collects. In the county. So the more we collect and the more your percentage is, the more you get, vice versa.
Very good. Thank you. And then second, I remember we had some discussions around this when we were looking at the franchise agreement mm-hmm. about a year ago. And if I remember correctly, Waste Management is basically agnostic as to this particular fee because it's, in essence, a pass-through.
Exactly.
Very good. Thank you. Those are my questions.
All right. Go to the public first. Is there any public comment? All right. Vice Chairman, are you lean in a certain way? Yep, you have a preferred. How about this? I'll jump in. We've talked about trying to get back to our residents. I see this as another way to do that. Might not be a huge deal for everybody, but it's roughly an $8 discount on their bill every month, every quarter. Is that a safe estimate?
Maybe a little less. But...
give or take.
I didn't know there was going to be a math test today. So the monthly bill is roughly, I want to say $27 for the average, mm-hmm. and it'd be 8% of that per month. Would be the savings.
Okay. So, okay. I think we're talking about the same numbers, maybe.
Yeah.
So, as far as I'm concerned, since it's a pass-through, essentially our residents are paying for that money, so I don't know that they want to give more money to the county. So I'm definitely leaning towards getting rid of the franchise fee in its entirety. That's kind of my position right now, so I'll leave it up to Commissioner Gilman and Vice Chairman Mitchell to either jump on board or come up with a better option.
I'll sign on at this point, Commissioner Gilman here, and I'm inclined to agree with you, Commissioner Carmona, and I would support waiving the impact fee to our county residents.
Thank you, Commissioner Gilman.
Yeah, Chairman, I'm supportive as well. I think that, and certainly this would impact both residents and businesses.
It does.
But I just look at our big picture. I think people are taxed enough already. I think that, especially given the audit that we just went through and looking at the fiscal position that we're in, I think we have the ability to meet the needs, and whatever impacts might come from garbage collection service through other funding mechanisms. And I'd be inclined to go to a 0% franchise fee.
All right. There's been some discussion. Is there any public comment at this point?
And Mr. Chairman, I just want to make a small clarification.
As a resident or Austin?
As a county manager.
Yes, you have the floor.
So first, I commend you for negotiating an agreement that ultimately reduced the overall fee for residential pickup. This will continue to reduce that even more than the preceding agreement. This would be, once you set this resolution, unless Brian says differently, it would carry over for the entire duration of the franchise agreement, unless this board at any time comes back for a resolution to change that franchise agreement impact fee at any given time. And then with your motion, everything is set up. I would just suggest that you would go from a fee to a percentage to a 0%. I think that'd be sufficient.
Okay, thank you. Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
I am. Thank you. I do want to point out just one thing. You know, I consider the rates that were negotiated a huge win across the board, and appreciate Waste Management's partnership in that. I do want to point out that there were a very few at the lowest end that did increase slightly, and so some people may be feeling that, but I think we can help offset that by reducing the franchise fee. It'll get them back to almost neutral, and virtually every other category was a reduction. And so,
yep.
I think overall it'll be good for our folks. So with that in mind, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to set the gross billing franchise fee from 8% down to 0%, pursuant to Article 9 of the 2024 to 2034 Solid Waste Collection Franchise Agreement between Story County and Waste Management of Nevada Incorporated.
I second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Austin. Thank you, Kendra. I didn't get your name.
Kim.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys making the trip up. All right. On to item number 30. I'm going to ask a quick favor, Austin. Item 31 is the public workshop. Are you anticipating that taking a bit of time? Like, would it be good time to take a quick break, or if we're moving along, I don't want to take a break and we're done in 10 minutes?
Yeah, that'll be, it really is up to this board how much time you want to spend on the strategic plan workshop.
Right.
So if you want to take a break, I don't think it would hurt anybody's feelings, and then we could jump right back into it, just in case.
All right. You all right with just a 5 to 10 minute recess? All right. We're going to take a 5-10 minute recess. See you back here shortly.